man wants to repent of his sins. It's like I told the gentleman over the telephone. I said, well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if you repent of your sins and you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, then you'll be saved. I said, if not, you know, that's the way I understand it. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And you're not baptized to remit your sins. That's not the way it goes. You're baptized because your sins have been remitted by the blood. And the Spirit of Christ has come into your heart to testify to that. Someone said, well, that means that if I'm not baptized, as long as the blood has taken away my sins, it'll be all right. Well, I'd just rather you just work that out for yourself, you know, as to ever what you think about that. All I know is they bury dead men, and they usually don't leave them laying around. It causes a stink if you do. But baptism is for burial, and Paul said as many as been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. And to put him on another way, I don't know. Maybe you can tell me how you can do that. You know, I don't know about that part. That's not been revealed to me yet, if there is any such thing. But I do know that as many as been baptized into him has put on Christ. A lot of folks would say, well, as far as I'm concerned, Brother Pike, my sins are gone by the blood. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the whole world's sins are gone by the blood. Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. But that doesn't mean you're heir to eternal life just because your sins are gone by the blood. But there is something to that. I still haven't discovered that either. So just for some drunkard or murderer to come in and say, you know, I believe that Jesus shed his blood at Calvary and that takes care of it. I'm sure that the devil believes he shed his blood at Calvary. He witnessed the whole thing. But folks, that is believing, but the Bible said, vain man, will you know that faith without doing anything about your believing is dead, that it's worthless, it's no good, but you've got to do something about it. Brother Taylor might come and tell me that if I would walk uptown that I could pick up $1 million that they had it up there waiting on me and all I had to do was go get it. And I could say, well, I believe that. The next day he said, well, did you go get your $1 million? I said, well, what's that got to do with it? I believe it. Well, it really doesn't have anything to do with it other than the fact I just don't ever get the $1 million. That's the way I see it, and that's the way I understand it. Just believing or knowing, as we would say, that the blood was shed and that there was a Calvary, there is a God, don't save anybody. But when you do what the Lord commanded the apostles to tell them to do, when he sent them out in his behalf and that he was departing, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sin. Then we go, we preach repentance, and we baptize them, or as Paul said, I sow or I plant, Apollos watereth, God giveth the increase. And so far as I'm concerned, you are baptized for the remission of sins, which means that your sins has been done away with or by Calvary, with the efforts of God there at Calvary. Your sins have been done away with by the blood. The Bible said there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood, and that the life is in the blood. But for me to be partakers of it, I have to repent of my sins. I have to, as the Bible said, believe in my heart unto righteousness. I believe what God's word says about Jesus Christ giving his life for me, that being my righteousness, that I be not found in my own righteousness as is coming. I believe that, for with the heart I believe and draw nigh to God, and then confession unto salvation is made with the lips. I believe in my heart unto righteousness. I confess with my lips, and it becomes effective in my heart because Christ Jesus is the high priest of my confession. So I believe that the reason David of old was a man after God's own heart was because he had great faith in God. Praying about 7 times a day, he had great faith in God. And the Bible said without faith it's impossible to please God. And when you talk to God as to why it's impossible to please him without faith, his answer is that God or I purify the heart by faith, and without a purification is the sanctifying of the heart, I cannot fellowship you nor dwell in you. So it's impossible for us to have fellowship without the sanctifying faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why I told Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light, unto the faith by which they're sanctified. This faith, of course, the Bible tells us to contend for. So then I'm contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So this is the way I understand it, folks. If you're going to be a man after God's own heart, the Bible said that God's eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, looking for the upright in heart, going to and fro the earth, searching them out, to show himself strong in the behalf of those that are upright in heart. That is to say, the sanctified, which is the believing, that by their faith I'll do great mighty things, even abundantly and above all that they can ask or think, by this faith and the Spirit of Christ that worketh within them. All right, if you can do it another way, that's all right, but I'm just a minister here to tell you what I understand about it. And he said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So I'm here as a minister to try to tell you that, number one, you repent of your sins. Like I told the minister over the telephone from California. The second thing that you do, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, in that you are now numbered with him in his death. You've accepted his blood. He's delivered for your offenses. The man is to Adam, the one born of Adam, is now dead. So he must be buried. And so you're buried in the name of the Lord Jesus to show that the body has slipped away, as to remitted or slipped away. And that it's buried, it's gone. You've remitted that, it's gone. It's buried in a watery grave. And then when you're resurrected in the newness of life, the Bible said, having been planted together in his likeness, we're resurrected in his image. And when we come forth, having been delivered for our offenses, we come forth as to being raised again for our justification. So then it's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that comes up, and it's not us living, but it's Christ Jesus. And if you're not buried, it appears to me that you're still running around. And if you're still running around, it appears to me that you're not dead. And if people don't bury you, then it's very obvious you're not dead. And if you are dead, men surely will bury you. Somebody says, well, I'm afraid, you know, if I don't have any insurance, you don't have to worry about it, you'll get a free burial. You just lay around long enough, and just like an old dead dog, they'll find your spot. So you don't have any problem with that. But the thing is, you don't have insurance so that somebody will bury you. You have insurance so that you can get what they call a decent burial, or something that might look right in the eyes of people. Because with you, it's not going to make any difference anyway. You're not going to know anything about the embarrassment, if there would be such. So then I say that you have to repent of your sins. And I say you have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. And there's a lot of disputes, whereas people, they dispute that. They say, well, what about the man on the cross? Well, what about him? You know, what about the man on the cross? They said, well, it's very obvious that this man, Brother Pike, what can you say? This man was never baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, what can you say? I mean, if the Bible said that, that's what the Bible says. I can't change it. I can't alter it. I wouldn't want to try. That's what he says. That's what he says. Well, somebody said, well, I'd like to know what he was talking about. Well, what he was talking about was just like when Abraham died, and just like when David of old died, and when the others died back under the law, not having received the promise, but all died in faith, confessing that they were pilgrims, and they sought a city whose builder and maker was God. And as to the Bible, it said, and they were not made perfect without us. These could never be made perfect without us. They rested in their lot, and so it was. So I said, but it said that in paradise, Brother Pike, I know that. It also says the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, and seeing Abraham, who was in paradise, he looked across a great gulf, and to seeing Lazarus over there. You know, so what can you say? I think he told him the way it happened, don't you? What is a world of difference in that the Bible says to John, there's none greater than John, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Under the law there was none greater than John. And over here we are now in a different situation. Jesus had never yet, as of then, died for the remission of sin, neither was remission in his name. So then that means that they could not be made perfect, because there's only one perfect one as to God, and that is he that is in Christ Jesus. He that is in Christ Jesus, whereas the Bible says, someone said, well, what about Abraham and what about Job? And the Bible says they were perfect. That's true, they were. As to God, accepting them by the full knowledge of God, having wrote their names down in the Lamb's book of life before the world ever was, and the blood being given there as to the Lamb crucified before the world ever was, as in the full knowledge of God. And Paul said their names wrote in the Lamb's book of life, but that was not substantiated, nor that was not brought to light, nor it was not made known, and it wasn't preached until Calvary as to the affirmation of the confirmation as to them being heir to it, because they could not be made perfect as to accept this perfection until Jesus Christ died for the remission of sin. And the Bible said without us they could not be made perfect, and that is why that Jesus went down into the heart of the earth to preach to the souls in prison when they cried out under the filth seal, saying, Lord, how long? And the Bible said he gave them robes, and he said, until your brethren and likewise are killed. When they're killed in like manner, said, then I'll call for you. But right now, we can't do anything about it, but we will do this. We will give you robes. And he gave them robes of righteousness, white robes. Which this is what I'm saying, when you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you're given the white robe as to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because baptism is a death. It's a burial. See, and they were already dead, so you don't go by the way of the dirt as to get your robe. You go by the way of the water. Still a grave. And someday the church will come to the place to where it realizes it doesn't need to go by the way of the dirt, because the dead know not anything. They can't praise God. But that's just some kind of error in man's head, you know. He just don't understand it. Death is God's enemy, and death came by man. It didn't come by God. And God isn't interested in your death and your burial as to your natural death and burial in the earth. That those under the law did that because they could not be baptized in his name, because as to him, as to whom the promise was made, as to the seed that God said through that seed all nations would be, he had not come. The nations could not be blessed through his perfection, his righteousness, until he come. And to him who was the perfect one, now he has come. Now it is no more us living but the perfect one, so we're perfect. And all of them that receive of him, as to those down in the heart of the earth that receives his spirit, is preordained for the body is to put on the wedding garment. And the Bible said, if any man come into this wedding climbing up any other way, as through the grace, as the blood on the seat of atonement, as the pouring out of the Spirit of the Lord, you can come into this supper and get into this heavenly place another way. But he said, if you don't come through the word, as to Jesus by the door, you'll be bound hand and feet and put out, because you do not have on the wedding garment. You've not been born again. You're not dead as to the first man, Adam. And you're not alive as to the resurrection, as to that new man. So you don't have on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that you're not bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, there's no place for you at the wedding supper. So let me encourage you. If you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are, as your inner man through your spirit, baptized by the Holy Ghost into the Spirit of Christ. And you are, as to your soul, baptized by the fire, which means the blood of Jesus Christ is the consummation of your sins. And that soul that died because of sin, the consummation of God is a consuming fire, is taken away, and now you are born again as a new man, and you are in the blood of Jesus, a new life, a quickening spirit, not a living soul. And as God breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. Now you are a quickening spirit, in that you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the Bible said the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. So it's very obvious that you pass from death unto life because you cannot kill spirits. You cannot kill angels. There's no way to kill an angel. God can destroy an angel, but other than that, he's out of the reach of danger. You can't kill him. And in this, we are in heaven and equal to the angels. Having been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, because of this we dwell in heaven. The body is dead and buried and gone because of sin. It's been remitted. Our sins has us to take away the body because the body has to do with iniquity. Therefore, the body's gone. And now it's a quickening spirit that's living. And that we've been baptized by the Spirit, into the Spirit, and by the fire as to the consummation of our sins. And the Bible said he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor. Then the third step of it is that you must be baptized in water, and that science say the biggest part of the body is water. John likens people into waters and types. Then you're to be baptized in water for the remission of sin in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your witness and testimony to people and being set apart. That body's now buried, dead. Everybody knows it's dead, it's buried. You made your confession that you was killed at Calvary as that of the old man, and now you are a new man, resurrected in the newness of life, and you're alive forevermore as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Not you living in the life you now live, you live by the Son of God that dwelleth on the inside of you, who loved you and gave himself for you, that you might be this wonderful, wonderful body of Jesus Christ, even a God in your day. A God is something that cannot die. So you pass from death unto life, and now you're alive forevermore. Once dead in trespasses and sin, but never, never, never again. And there was another way to do that. As I said, I've never learned it. I've been from cover to cover in this book, and we've read it, and we've read it, and we've read it, and we've read it, but have never found anything other than that. Sister, talking to the gentleman, I couldn't recommend nothing but this. Of course, I didn't have to say anything about it to the beginning. He said something to me about it, but he didn't attack it. He just has a different way of doing things. I do not believe that I can take you and baptize you and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, take you up out of the water and turn you loose, and that you would be dead and buried. I don't believe that. First of all, I can't believe that because Jesus in Matthew said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, in the 28th chapter of Matthew, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I've said this so many times that the name of the Father is very clearly stated. I come in my Father's name, and he come in the name Jesus. Somebody said, well, that just was kind of a figure of speech. You know, we say things like that. I'm not going to tell you who my Father was, but I come in his name. Well, so then you say, that's a figure of speech. The next one says, it's a line upon line, precept upon precept. And I have manifested thy name, Father. And the only name I ever know of Jesus manifesting was Jesus. And the Bible said, in his name shall be called Jesus. And he said, Father, I have kept them in thy name. I have manifested thy name. Said, I come in my Father's name. If you had come in another name, you would have received me. And he said, I've kept them in thy name, Father. And the Father said, because thou hast done this, I will give you a name. And this will be a new name. He said, and no one will know this name except him to whom you reveal it. So with this, he said, a child shall be born, a name, it be Jesus. And then the Holy Ghost will come. He will come in my name. And why not? Because he is my spirit. Stands to reason that if I went away and my spirit come back, it'll come in my name. A child shall be born. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Isn't that what we call him? The Mighty God. We call him the Everlasting Father. The name Jesus, the family name, I bow my knees to the Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Remission in the name of Jesus, none other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. As I've said so many times, if you check the library, you'll find it wasn't until 325 A.D. that it was even changed as to the Nicene Creed. All people in the New Testament and up until that time baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and the Catholics changed it. When they took over and they set up the hierarchy in the times of Constantine, when his mother became a Christian, he changed it. They couldn't understand it, so they changed it. And if I say I'll baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost and don't call the name Jesus, I've lied to you. Because I haven't baptized you in no kind of name. Father's not a name. I say again, I'm a father. There's fathers here. And son's not a name. I'm a son and there's sons here. And Holy Ghost is not a name. That also is a title. And there are people here that they are one with the Holy Ghost and they are the Holy Ghost inside of human bodies. As to the Holy Ghost living on the inside of them. So Holy Ghost is not a name, neither is Father a name, neither is Son a name. That is titles. That is not the name. A son is not his name, that's what he is. A father, that's not his name, that's what he is. Holy Ghost, that's not his name, that's what he is. When he comes in his name, it'll be Jesus. The Father, family name, Jesus. The Son, family name is Jesus. And why not? Because the Bible said these three are one. Somebody said, well, I think it's three different gods. No, that's wrong. The Bible don't say, well, I think these three agree with each other. No, that's wrong. That's error. That's not Bible. See, Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. It doesn't say these three agree in one. It says these three are one. It says the water, blood, and spirit, these agree in one. These are separate. They agree in one. As to produce life. But and we bring that out sometimes in Revelation. And I hope again, as I said, you don't mind me just talking to you because I wasn't intending to do this. I wasn't intending to talk to you like this. But since the thing arises like that in all of the world, it's like that and we're set for the defense of the gospel. We're set here to defend the truth. And as Pilate said to Jesus, he said, I've come for the defense of the truth, to bear witness of the truth. And Pilate said, well, what is truth? Well, truth is the word of God. In the beginning was truth, the word of God. Let every man be a liar and God be true. So the only truth there is the spirit, which is the word of God. And every time you utter a word, that is a spirit speaking, whether it's your spirit or Satan's spirit or God's spirit, it's a spirit. Or whether it's a fallen angel. Whether it's some kind of angel speaking through you using your brain, it's still a spirit. So you have to remember that. Spirits use human bodies. And the devil would like to take your body away from you by taking control of your spirit and then weaving himself with your spirit to use your body to get out of those dry places as to himself. And God would like to use you for his own use in that he made you for the abundance of life. And you have no life without the waters of life flowing into your vessel. And he is life, and so he wants you to be filled up and overflowing with him because he makes the vessel for that. And the radiance of life comes, and the beauty of the fruits come, and the springtime of resurrection is there, and you enjoy yourself, and the little birds, as to the angelic beings, they come and perch on your branches. All right. I hope just a few little words along as we say these things will help you, because usually as a rule, we stay away from most of this unless we're baptizing. And then when we're baptizing, we try to bring out a few things. But there's some that have need of thorough explanation and indoctrination as to these kind of things. Because you're going to run into a lot of problems, folks. And you're going to run into people that don't believe it. And if they can persuade you to go another way, you don't have any remission of sin. Baptism is for the remission of sin. And Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Now tell me how a person is just going to go call on the name of Jesus somewhere and then the preacher is going to be remitting his sins and the preacher is going to be retaining his sin. Tell me how he's going to do that. See, the Bible says, how can they hear? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And how can they hear unless there be a preacher? And the Bible said, how can he preach lest he be sent? And the Bible says, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And if these men that had come, had stood in my presence, they would have caused people to turn away from their sins. They would have remitted their sins. See, but they're not preaching remission of sin in the name of Jesus. They play around with the name Jesus. But the Bible said, many shall come in my name. They'll say, Lord, we cast out devils in thy name. We've done many of my works in thy name. He said, I will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. So take heed how you hear. Give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard. I said, any time you should let them slip, or a man should take your crown away from you by philosophy of vain deceit, hold fast to the words of God. Your faith in the word of God, which is God, Jesus, the word made flesh, the name. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. So then in this, you hold on to that and you'll be all right. If you've never repented of your sins and been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin, then you need to do it, and you don't need to just have anybody to baptize you. Anybody, just anybody, cannot baptize you. Jesus said concerning the ministry, I have sent you as my Father sent me, and whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. So just anybody can't baptize you, because it is not the water that takes away your sins. If it was just the water that was taking away your sins, it wouldn't matter what title you called, what name you called, or anything else. But the Bible said, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, remission of sin shall be taught in his name, or Jesus said, in my name, as we would say. Remission of sin be taught in the name Jesus to the uttermost parts of the earth. What I say to one, I say to all. Someone would say, well, I believe that when you get saved, there's no need to be baptized. You're saved. Well, I don't know. As to a natural birth, there's water, blood, and spirit. And I don't know. You can have what they call a dry birth. You can have a still birth. Have all kind of births. But a normal birth is, as we say. And someone would say, well, I believe that when I'm saved, I'm saved. I say that you put on Christ when you're baptized. And it has to do with the flesh. It has to do with the body. Because you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. When you bury somebody, you bury the body. You don't bury the spirit. The Bible said death, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. So it's certainly not for the spirit. Because the spirit isn't there. The spirit went back into glory. So the only things left is the body, for the Bible said the body without the Spirit is dead. It is true that you are baptized into one body, to the body of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit, because the life of the body is the Spirit. If there's no life, then there's no connection as to it takes Spirit to flow from Spirit to Spirit. It is true that you and your wife is the great mystery as to concerning the things of God, that this one thing is by the Spirit, that she is bone of your bone and she is flesh of your flesh. For indeed, she's not bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, as to looking at her naturally, unless there's a spirit that goes into her and changes her blood and changes her blood genetics, as to royal blood flowing through our veins, bringing us the nature of Christ, and then changing our image into his image, as to being partakers of the divine nature of Christ. So then the nature of the man overrules the nature of the woman. And the nature of the woman becomes one with the nature of the man. And then that means that she is one. That they are just one. Both of them are just one. And Jesus Christ's nature, he's overruled my nature. Somebody said, well, I've got Christ. I don't believe it. I said, well, why is that? Because I don't see where your nature's been overruled. You're just as flesh and carnal as you ever was from the first time I met you. If his nature had overruled you, you'd have been Christ-like. You'd have been God-like. You'd have had virtue. You'd have been holy. You'd have been pure. Your mind would have been on heavenly things. You wouldn't have your mind on your face. You wouldn't have your mind on your body. You wouldn't have your mind on money. You wouldn't have your mind on prestige. You wouldn't have your mind on your relatives, buying, selling, going, laughing, talking, visiting. You'd have your mind exactly on God. Somebody says, how much? All of it. Until every thought was brought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And there was no more thoughts of yours left. So that's what the nature does for you. The nature makes an orange and orange. It, through the differentiation, an apple nature makes an apple an apple. I was telling somebody today, you know, we get off on a tangent, we go on a fast, we we fast, or we do without food, or we pray, or all these things, and all of a sudden we feel like there was something special. Like I mentioned to some of the brethren, that's not the way you do it. And if that is the way you do it, then the question that arises in my heart is this. If you got a dog and a cat, and you don't feed him for 10 days, and he survives after 10 days, what is he? What would he be? Surely 10 days doing without food would make him something different if there was any power of change in not eating. But to our utter amazement, after 10 days of not eating, if he survives, he's still a dog or a cat. And when you go about 10 days without food, when you get through, it's going to be, to your utter amazement, you're going to find out that you was a man when you started or a woman when you started. And when you look in the mirror, you're going to be exactly the same thing. Won't be a bit of difference. But when you are born again and when you die, somebody said, well, when I look in the mirror, I'll see the same thing. That's impossible. You couldn't possibly do that. Somebody said, you mean to tell me if I'm born again, I look in the mirror, that I'm going to see something different? Absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And if I look at you, I'm going to see something different. So I said, well, I still see a big hunk of flesh there myself. Well, that's because you got flesh in your eyes. You never did die from that world. You never was born again. If I know you after the flesh, then that means that I'm nothing but flesh. The Bible said we're not to know anybody after the flesh. Somebody said, well, I've got some thinking of my own. Well, that just means that you got to be born again. Today we have the mind of Christ, and we're not to know any man after the flesh. When I look at somebody or I, being born again, I look in the mirror, what do I see? I see flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. I see the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And I'm not looking for the other fellow. He's dead, he's buried, and he's gone. When I say he's gone, he's gone. If he isn't gone, then that means you need to be born again. You need to be born again. So it's not fasting, it's not praying all night. It's been born again. The Spirit on the inside of you makes you one with your husband if it is his Spirit. Whatever the Spirit is, that's what it is. And when the spirit of a dog, if it was to be put in a cat, that cat would act like a dog. If that cat spirit was put in a dog, that dog would act like a cat. And if that cat spirit was put inside of you, you'd act like a cat. And if your spirit could be put inside of a dog, he'd act like a dog. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, why does the Bible say in the days of Daniel, in the vision there, when this lion took on the heart of a man, he stood up and acted like a man? Why is it that beasts are walking around today acting like men? The world's full of beasts. You say, what kind? You never seen a hog that walked and talked like a man? You never seen a dog that walked and talked like a man? Jesus said they're swine and they're dogs. In his day, he even spoke of a fox that was walking around talking like a man. So that's the way I see it, folks, and that's the way I understand it. Somebody said, well, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say one thing, that when you're born of God, you'll walk and talk like God. You'll look like God, and you'll be like God, and you'll walk and talk like God, and you'll think like God, because that's what you are. You are the mighty God, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, members in particular of his body. And if you don't act like that, something's wrong with you. Add to your faith of virtue, godliness, all these wonderful things. Well, it looks like I've talked away the services to just exhorting you a little bit tonight. But maybe this is better. Maybe this caught you off guard. And if I'd have wound up and read and get ready to preach, you'd have felt so miserable and hot you might not listen real good. But catching you off guard, you just went right through the whole thing waiting for me to preach. And all of a sudden, I preached the sermon to you. You didn't even hardly realize. All right. Let's stand together. I appreciate you tonight. To be honestly frank with you, I definitely was not going to do this. I had already purposed in my heart to seek somebody else to minister tonight. Not because I didn't have a message, but because I'm just going to do that. I practically always have a message from God. So many times Jesus talked with them in reason. When I got the telephone call, it made me to realize that it was exactly the way that I understood it to be, and the way that I talked to David about it today before a telephone call came, the very exact way. And tonight, I just prepped in my heart that I was going to talk a few minutes, and see if I could make you understand very thoroughly that this is the way. Jesus said, being the Word, I am the way. I am the truth. And what does the Word say? Repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it's unto you and unto your children, as to as many as far off as the Lord our God shall call. And when Peter, who had seen these people receive the Holy Ghost, saying that the Gentiles have received the Holy Ghost as well as we, they're now admitted to the church, and baptism is not important. Now, where did we ever read that? It said, seeing that these have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. Somebody said, well, if you got the Holy Ghost, you don't need it. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth and righteousness. And when Jesus was baptized, he said, thus it becometh us, John, to fulfill all righteousness. Suffer to be so now. And if that be true, then that's why Peter said, you've got the Holy Ghost, but you need to be baptized. So here's some water. All right. Seeing that this is right, folks, we need to stand on it. We don't need to waver. We need to tell people, be loving and kind to them, but tell them that this is the way, and that they'll find that Jesus is the Word, and the Word speaks out saying these things. And leaving this little thought with you, I said so many times, Jesus, after that Judas was gone, spoke to the 11, meeting them over in a mountain where he had appointed them, and told them to go into all the world, which meant America, preaching to me and you. And Thomas was over as far as India back in there, I believe, when he got killed. Preached the gospel to every creature. And was told that they were to tarry at Pentecost until it be endued with power from on high. And that the Holy Ghost is power. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. Because he is power. And great is he that is within you, even Christ, who overcame everything, the world and the devil. So, it says, you're to go preach baptizing. They went and done that. And it said, you're to baptize in my name. They went and done that. Acts, the second chapter. And that's to pinpoint it, the 38th verse, where he gives a command. Here they are, people from every nation under heaven, all being the same. God speaking in their language. And here they were, the first church, 3,000 added, bringing them of the Jews, salvation of the Jews. And the one that they had denied had become the head of the corner. So I said that to say this. If Peter did disobey the Lord, and all the rest of the apostles stood with him in this, for the Bible said they continued steadfast in the apostolic doctrine. If they did this, then it's time for you and I to dismiss. Close up the doors, throw our Bible in the ocean, or burn it up and do something with it. Because if the man that had the keys to the kingdom and all the other apostles, it was the foundation of the holy city, went contrary to God, then it's for sure that ain't no need of me believing no word in there that they ever wrote. Not any of it. Because I don't find any of it where Jesus wrote. The only thing I can find about that is where he wrote in the sand. And as far as I know, they don't have a record of that today as far as still being there. But I'm just saying that there's no place in the Bible where God ever done any other thing as to remission of sin. And if Peter did not fulfill the great commission of Matthew 28 in the Acts of the Apostle, there is no record where it was ever fulfilled. Because nowhere in the Bible did they do it. The 10th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul baptized in Jesus' name. Philip down at Samaria, they baptized in Jesus' name. Cornelius, they baptized in Jesus' name. All of it was in Jesus' name. So other than that, they were baptized in the Red Sea unto Moses, the prophet like unto. And baptized in the cloud, which came as to the prophet, whereas Jesus, the prophet like unto Moses, he was the type of Jesus being faithful in all of his house and the meekest man in all the earth. So what do you say, folks? You know, that's the way the book gives it. That's the way I've always taught it. That's the way I believe it. I got a letter the other day, I don't know where it was from, some foreign country. And the man said that when I got your track on revelational truths, he said he read it, he was pondering over it, it struck him pretty hard from the way he talked, and said, he said, you know, I believe that's right. Said he went to sleep, said he had a dream, and in this dream, said a voice spoke to him about baptism in Jesus' name and said, that's the way. Said that's the way that Paul did it. Said that's the way that Peter did it. And said that's the right way. So he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I had another minister here in Atlanta, Georgia. Had a great following when I confronted him with baptism in Jesus' name. He had a lot to lose if his followers would not go with him. Whereas he didn't just cast it aside, but he didn't accept it. So he went to sleep and he had a dream. He said in the dream he went up on the top of a tower. Got up on top of the tower, there was two baptismal tanks, both filled with water. And they had a habit of saying, well, it don't matter, either way will do. So the voice said, over here, this is baptism in my name. Said it said concerning the other, said over here, this is a vat of water, said any way will do. You know, needless to say, when he come out of that, he went and got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And many people were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Somebody would say, well, you don't believe there's a Father, and you don't believe there's a Son, and you don't believe there's a Holy Ghost. Of course I do. The Bible said the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, these three are one. And it's easy to explain. The Godhead is easy to understand without dispute. All of the invisible things of God, clearly understood by the things which do appear even to the eternal Godhead, so that without excuse. And I definitely do believe, Paul said, I give honor to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I give honor unto His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, and the Holy Ghost Himself being witnesses of these great things. I definitely do, but you need to understand, folks. You need to understand. The wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. My, what it has to do with is to them that understand. There's one way to God. One way to God. Oh, there's one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, there's one, there ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. Baptized with the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's one, there ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. Remission in Jesus' name. Oh, there's one, there ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. One, there ain't but one way to God. Mission in Jesus. Sing that again. Oh, there's one, there's just one way to God. One, there's just one way to God. One, there's just one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Remission in none other name, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the world. Brother Pike, you shall preach remission in my name. Go into all the world. Preach remission in my name. So then you're baptized for the remission, and your remission is by the blood, and you're made heir to that through faith, and the confirmation is to your public testimony is that you are buried as a dead man into the water, and when you come forth, your sins are gone. Paul said, as to the sins of this flesh, it's gone. This sinful flesh, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, a wretched man that I am? Now it's gone, and you're no more in the flesh, but you're in the spirit, and that he's a quickening spirit, and you're hid with Christ in God. No more in the world. Can't sin because your sins are gone. There's no human body for you to sin with, and sin is of the flesh. So there's no way that you can do that. So wonderful to be a Christian. This is why that you will be saved and the world will not be saved. God, having subjected the human body to sin, to vanity, in hope, even Christ, the hope of glory, he hath taken away the sins of the world, and there's no more sin within the flesh. And they that are righteous under the world can no more sin the sin of the flesh, as to the blood being on the seat of atonement, and neither can you, for it's all dead in the sight of God. But the proof of it being dead is that you receive his spirit and not another spirit. And when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, you've already been buried in his likeness, so you'll be changed into his likeness. And when that happens, the proof that they were not dead is that the spirit of Satan, and through their own desire, is still alive in them as to the love of the world. And when the blood is taken off the seat of atonement, all of a sudden their body and image of iniquity will appear. And the Bible said, I will despise your image in the morning as the bastard child. So that's the way it is, folks. And what we need to do is do the best we can, love the Lord, and walk on. Let's sing another little chorus or two before we go. The altars are open. You're welcome to come if you like. And if you want to be a branch of this tree, you can. It's the tree of life. It's the family tree of life. And you can be a branch of this tree. But only by predestination and foreknowledge of God is to your name being written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Otherwise, you will not be. Someone would say, well, you mean that God just fastened me outside or inside just by his own doings? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated before he's ever born. It is true that you are fastened outside or you're locked inside by foreknowledge before you ever come into the world. You don't have a thing to do about it. That's the way it's going to be, in the sense that you can't change his foreknowledge. But it is a true fact that his foreknowledge is that as to a condition and a composure of what he foresaw that you would do. The decisions that you would make, even as to the coming generation that's not come on the scene now, should there come another generation, and even in this generation and every generation, having looked down through your life individually, foreseeing all about you from beginning to end, to find out what you would do, what you would say, how you would act, your reaction, what it would be throughout your entire life, and foreseeing even to the end of your life, then it was determined that that was to what you would be. You was that of that seed, and that's what you would be. And it was thus sealed in the mind of God, as it was of Judas, let another his bishopric take. Had all kind of opportunities for the ministry, obtained part of that ministry, failed of transgression, would not serve the God of heaven, though he knew the truth, he still wouldn't follow him. And in the end, it proved out to be what Jesus said. His foreknowledge of God was there, and the foreknowledge of God said, Judas, you're a devil. He didn't just come out and tell him. He just told the others as in general so they would know when it come to pass. And at the supper, when finally he said, one of you shall betray me, and each one said, is it I? When it got around to Judas, he said, thou say it, and give him a sup, and out he went. So then let's, Bible said, make your calling and election sure. Do these things that the preacher tells you. Add to your experience godliness and righteousness and virtue and soberness. Get the love of the world out of you, the lust of the world out of you. And come into Christ and love him with all of your heart. Love your neighbors yourself. Give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. And when you do that, you've got another mind. When you've got another mind, you convert a man, then you've saved a man, because once he's converted in his mind, he'll automatically give his heart to God and believe on Lord Jesus. So then, if that's what you are, then that's what you are. Every man must hear the gospel, and according to his believing, Jesus said, so be it unto you. Let's sing another chorus. Can you, Brother Taylor? Brother Taylor was Church of Christ, he and Sister Linda. And I mean, there were some tough folks. Sister Linda was the kind of person that if she liked you, she liked you. And if she didn't, she didn't. If she liked you, she'd tell you. And if she didn't, she'd tell you. I mean, she didn't wait two or three minutes to tell you. And she didn't go behind your back to tell you. And she didn't wait 2 weeks to tell you. Or she didn't tell Frank to tell you. She just politely come up to you and let you know it. And I was no exception. But still, I believed. And Frank, he believed. And after a while, poor Sister Linda, she couldn't prevail. She was being baptized in the name of Jesus. But I thank God for that, for the strength she had in that. She still got that strength today, and a lot of folks don't like her because she's like that. But folks, you got to admit, she's been here 20 years just this place, and you ain't never turned around. So it looks hopeless to me, and Frank, he's the same way. They're tender, and they're kind, sweet in their heart, but when it comes to standing for what they believed, I got a feeling that you ain't going to be able to change them around. Without him, you can do nothing. Without him, you would but fail. Without him, you would be drifting like a ship without any sail. Sing that with me. Oh, sweet Jesus, won't you hear him today?
Please don't turn him away.
Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Jesus said of myself, I can do nothing, but I do always the things that I see my Father do. And you that having eyes of understanding and them being enlightened, you can always see the Father. Jesus said unto them, you've never seen the Father. You've never known the Father. Never have you seen him at any time. And yet they were standing there looking at Jesus, the Son of God, which was the express image of God. Having eyes they could not see, having ears they could not hear, and they had never seen the Father. But when their eyes was open, Jesus said, Peter, who do men say that I am? And Peter looked beyond the veil and said, Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. So as the woman said at the well, Messiah cometh, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus said, I am he that speak unto thee. And Jesus said, lest you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And so it is, folks. Even as I today, as an individual, just a helper of your faith, as to your normal natural sight, but an individual like you are. But the Bible says, judgment begins in the house of God. It shall not be the minister speaking, but it shall be God speaking from within his temple. Let all the world keep silent. Let every man be a liar, and let the word of God be true, for God is within his temples. Whose temples ye are, members in particular, should you be delivered up as in the last days before the magistrate, then the Bible says, take no thought for what you will say beforehand, nor premeditate. For on the same hour it shall be given you what ye shall speak, for it shall not be you speaking, but your heavenly Father speaking from within you. So then, the Bible said, and they shall all be taught of God. Can we sing together again? So without him, I can do nothing because I'm dead and buried. Without him, I would but fail, dead in trespasses and sin. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without any there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross, at the cross, there I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burden of our hearts rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. For it's me, oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher nor the deacon, but it's, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher nor the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. For it's me, oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. For it's me, oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not Brother Pike, not Brother Taylor, but it's you, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not Sister Linda and Sister Betty, you, but it's you, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. For it's you, oh, it's you, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's you, let's say it, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Sister Betty, Sister Linda, oh, it's them, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Sister Betty, Sister Linda, oh, it's standing in the need of prayer. Sing that with me. For it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know what we need to know, folks?
It's me.
Not the preacher and the deacon, nor the preacher's wife.
Standing in the need of prayer.
Nor the deacon's wife. When there's fault to be found, it's you.
It's me.
You're the one that needs to wash your own windows. Like it was said of the woman that kept looking out her windows at the woman next door. And always critical of her clothes, said she's got the dirtiest wash I've ever seen. And one day somebody revealed to her she needed to wash her windows. And when she washed her windows, she found out it was the prettiest, nicest, cleanest thing that she'd ever seen in the way of a wash. And what you need to do, like the songwriter said, he washed my eyes with tears. And what you need to do is let him bathe your heart, your spirit, and wash your eyes with tears. And then you'll look out and you'll find out that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, is as white as snow. And their garments are so pure. And that no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. For they've been justified, they've been sanctified, they've been purified, they've been glorified. And no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. So when we pray, let's pray like this once again. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. For it's me, it's me, oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. For it's me, oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Go leave it there. Go and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if you trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Go and leave it with Him. Go leave it with Him. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it with Him. And if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. And if your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along, Omega Faith, just remember in God's word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord. Can you sing that? Go and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it with Him. And if you trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to my Lord. Can you sing one more time? Go leave it with Jesus. Go leave it with Jesus. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it with Him. For if you trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring out. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave them there. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth.
I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me.
Sing that way.
For I claim Jesus first of all, God's gonna answer me when I fall. For I know that I'm a child, the sun sets free. For I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that enough for me. We claim Jesus first of all. God's gonna answer us when we call. For we know that we're the children God set free. We are God's own children by birth, the highest honor here on this earth. We claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. All right, let's lift our hands together and close our eyes. Truly, the Lord is our helper. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Bible said that no man can lay anything to your charge. It's God's elect, because it is God that justifies. It is Jesus that has justified us, for by grace, through faith, we're justified, and not a work, but it is the gift of God. And the Bible said that it is God who has secured us by his own Spirit. Jesus died for us. We're sanctified by the offering of his body. So then, you're God's children. Take courage. Go boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need, that you may receive help in the time of need. Go boldly before the throne of grace. See, just go right there and say, Lord, I need help. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of the Lord. I need help. I want you to help me. Don't be denied. The songwriter said, I would not be denied. I would not be denied till Jesus comes and makes me whole. I will not be denied. Why should you be denied? You've got all power over the powers of the enemy. He can't hurt you. God has destroyed the works of the devil. So you don't need to be playing around with that and giving yourself to that. He suffered pain and misery. The stripes was upon his back were healed by those stripes. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him that we might not have to be chastised. As long as we walk circumspectly before God Almighty, our light will shine. Men will see our good works. Glorify our Father which is in heaven. And you won't have to be chastised. See, the Lord loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to stand by you. He doesn't want anything to happen to you. And if you love him and walk with him, you can boldly go before the throne in the time of need and say, Lord, I need financial help. I need physical help. Lord, I need spiritual help. And the Lord won't deny you. He'll give it to you. He'll help you in every way. He won't deny you. You know, you say, well, I don't know, Brother Pike. I've not been serving God long, and I don't know whether I'm good enough. That has nothing to do with it. It's not by works. How could that have anything to do with it? See, you're a little baby, you're a little boy, you're a little girl, if you have one, if you're fortunate enough to have one. See, well, the man next door, you see the little children. Then is that little baby going to be yours someday if it keeps getting better and better, or you're going to accept it one day if it gets gooder and gooder, as we say? Are you going to decide to do something for it if it'll just hold on and, you know, after you beat it with a stick and kicked it around? And, you know, and after a while you're going to decide it's yours. Or is that little one yours? Is it yours and more precious to you than it could ever be at any other time in its life? Because it's little. It can't help itself. And it's dependent on the Heavenly Father, as we would spiritually say. He loves you, folks. The one thing he spoke of when he started to go away, he said to his disciples, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yea, Lord. He said, feed my lambs. He asked Peter again. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yea, Lord. He said, feed my lambs. And again, he said to Peter, he said, do you love me? And Peter was grieved at that. He knew something was wrong. Peter had left his work, had gone fishing, done all kind of things. He said, Lord, thou knowest. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Folks, he's concerned about those little ones. And he said, if you offend one of them, it better that a millstone be tied about your neck and that you drown in the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. He loves you. He'll fight your battles. He'll help you. Every little cry. He's in your heart. He's a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of your infirmities. His love is so great that the dearest thing to his heart, he sacrificed that as his only begotten son so that he could take the spirit and life of that body and put it in you so he could make you a son as that spirit crying, Abba, Father. And that blood, as to what blood that life was in, might be taken from the veins of that innocent body. As in the Old Testament, the blood had to be yielded up for the life to go back to God. And now that blood is to royal blood flowing through your veins, and that spirit is in that blood, is within your veins because the life is in the blood. You now have royal blood. You now have the Spirit of Christ as to the life of God. And now you're bone of his bone and you're flesh of his flesh. And it's not you living but him. And God will shake the stars out of heaven simply because somebody has offended you. And if you think I'm wrong, just watch and see. They have offended you and he's upset. And he's going to literally shake the stars out of their socket. He said, Moses, he was upset. I'm going to shake the earth. And he did. And the fire came down and he burned up Egypt. And he turned it into a rubbish pile. And then he said, following, he said, next time, I won't just shake the earth. I'm going to shake heaven and earth. And this time, because they have offended you, and the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel, as even among the stars to make his nest on the moon, as to show that he's climbed up in the body of the Lord Jesus, as to what would have been the body and would have been the temple of God. And he's taken that body to make it his own. God is upset. And he said, the serpent having climbed up into the upper lintel, as to getting into the spirit, I'll cast him out. I'll cast him down to hell. Though you make your nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. And so then, the Lord loves you. You have nothing to fear, precious friend. You just go to the Lord. Just tell him. Take your burdens to the Lord. Tell him. Say, I got a problem, Lord. Someone would say, well, I told him, but he didn't help me. Why didn't he help you? Could it be that you're not his child? Well, someone would say, well, I guess maybe that's it. Well, the Bible does say he makes the rain come on the just and the unjust, that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. If nothing else, you could find help as to God's compassion and mercy, because you're a human being created as in his likeness before the fall. But we're his children by faith. And if you're not getting the answer, what's wrong? Someone would say, well, I prayed and I didn't get the answer. Well, one thing is, if you say you didn't get the answer, then you are an unbeliever. Because if you had to believe what the word said, and that faith cometh by hearing the word, you would have known that this was before in the foreknowledge of God and given to you before you was ever born into the world. So it's not a matter of him not hearing your prayer. It's not a matter of he did not give it to you. The Bible said he's given us all things that pertain unto Christ, and that revealed to us through the knowledge of Christ. And it's not of works. So then that couldn't be right. And then if you're having problems, it must be that he's dealing with you as sons. He must be subjecting you. He must be chastening you. He must be correcting you as not to just make your cup overflow. And someone would say, well, why does he do me like that, Brother Park? He doesn't do you like that. You do yourself like that. Death came by man. Heartaches came by man. Sickness came by man. Affliction come by man. God doesn't pervert the cause of any man. Neither does he tempt any man. Neither can he be tempted of any man. Neither does he judge any man. He has left all of the judgment to the Son. God is love, once and for all, eternally and forever. He is a state and a condition of love. And you're the ones that cause the problem. You've got out of bounds. You've got over on the enemy's territory. You're off limits. And when a kid plays in the mud, what does he do? He gets mud all over him. And what does mommy have to do? Sometimes she has to dust the seat of his pants and then stick him under the shower. See, so depending on whether you just fail in the mud, not meaning to, or whether mommy told you to stay out of the mud and you won't do it, as to whether you're going to get your pants dusted, as we say. All right, or you're going to get, as to the ladies, you know, you still get a tanning. Let's remember this, so let's be quick to repent. Let's talk with the Lord. Let's never forget his love. Faith works by his love. Let's not forget his love. Let's just keep on keeping on. And like the woman that said, Lord, I want you to heal my daughter. And the Lord said, I can't give the children's bread to dogs. It's not meat to do it, he said. She said, yea, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the children's table. And he said, woman, great is thy faith. Just whatever you will. On the little boat when the storm was raging and Jesus was so tired trying to sleep, and that he was a man just like I'm a man. And they said, Lord, carest thou not if we perish? Jesus arose, rebuked the winds and the waves, and said, where is your faith? Oh, you have little faith. And I've wondered how little he meant, because he said if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. He said, if you say unto this mountain, be removed, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Which means if you just had the faith of a grain of mustard seed in your heart when you said it was going to move, then it would move. You know, folks, it's no wonder he said, oh, ye of little faith. If it's anything small than that, you'd have to magnify it into existence. And if that much could move a mountain, if you didn't have but just enough to magnify an existence, you'd have enough to take care of you and me for the rest of our lives. But Jesus was speaking of strengthening that remains, he said. Strengthen it. Strengthen that remains. Lest I come and move your spirit. The candlestick. For the spirit of man is the candlestick of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. So then let's love the Lord tonight. Let's realize we're the Lord's tonight. Let's don't take no for an answer. Just say, Lord, just give me the crumbs. And I can tell you, he's got a whole loaf of bread for you to start with. If you're being evil, Jesus said, know how to give good gifts unto your children. And evil folks do give good gifts unto their children. He said, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts unto them that ask him? Ask what you will, I'll do it. Somebody said, well, I ask God for something and he won't do it. I know for sure some of you have asked him for things that you've asked me to pray about. He's done it two or three times and you still throwed it down and walked off and left it. And then come back and upset because he won't do it another time. But anyway, let's just sing another little chorus. Hold your hands up, close your eyes, and let's sing, I love him. I love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's One more time together.
I love him.
Love him.
Ask Brother Hollis to come and dismiss
us. I love him.
Brother Hollis, can we'd like for you to come and dismiss us.
All because
that he first
loved
me.